Acts chapter 10, the verse that is on your screen, Acts chapter 10. There are three times in our New Testament book of Acts that someone is identified by the name of Ananias. Two of those times, the individuals who are mentioned by that name bear an infamous character, one of scandal and shame. The first of those individuals we meet by the name of Ananias, who bears a shameful record, is the one mentioned in Acts chapter 5. You may recall that Ananias, along with his wife Sapphira, were in a particular situation in the time of the early church in which money was being collected to help with the needs of that church. People had come from all over parts of the Roman Empire and were expecting to stay only for a short while during the Feast of Pentecost. But as time wore on and they stayed there longer because of the events described in Acts chapter 2, well, the people began to have some needs, and so money was being taken up to help with those needs. Ananias, along with his wife Sapphira, agreed to give a portion of that money, but then an unexpected turn. They lied about what they had donated. They lied about a portion of that donation. And if you continue reading through the book of Acts chapter 5, you'll recognize that there was punishment administered out for their lying, not to men, the Bible says, but to the Holy Spirit. And that Ananias' name is forever recorded in Scripture as being associated with shame for his account of lying about his donation. The other Ananias we read about in the book of Acts, whose name is also associated with shame and infamy, is remembered in Acts 23 and Acts 24. This particular Ananias was one who was a high priest in the office of high priest. He had occupied that office. And, you know, one might think, well, he's in a high priest office. What could be shameful or trying or challenging about that particular situation? Well, this particular Ananias had been placed in that high priest office, not according to Jewish descent, not according to biblical order of following those high priests, but this particular Ananias had been placed in that office by an individual by the name of Herod. Herod was an Idumean. He did not even have the right to put someone in that high priest office. If you do much reading of Old Testament history and New Testament history outside of the books of the Bible, just looking at plain history, you may read across an individual by the name of Josephus who has recorded that that particular Ananias mentioned in Acts 23 and 24 was wicked and cruel beyond many of his own age and own time. And yet there he is in the office of high priests, ruling and making decisions over individuals whom he had no right to do so, and did so in a very wicked way. And so those are the two individuals we read about in the book of Acts whose name Ananias is there recorded, but it's recorded not in any good sense, not in any good light whatsoever. Now the third one mentioned in your book of Acts, who I do want to spend some time with on this morning, is first brought to our attention in the book of Acts chapter 9 and the verses that you have identified on your screen. This particular Ananias was the polar opposite of those first two that we have just talked about. Because this particular Ananias is everything that God wants him to be. He was called into a position in his life and in a situation in his life where God called upon him to act, and to act in a way to benefit the kingdom of Christ. And this Ananias was ready and willing and jumped right in and did all he could to help in this particular situation. He was a Christian who lived in the city of Damascus when he first met an individual whom we are introduced to in our Bibles as Saul, Saul of Tarsus, who would later become Paul the Apostle and spread the gospel all over the first century world and all over the first century map. And this particular individual was the one who came to Paul when Paul, Saul, as again we're first introduced to him, learned about some things that he must do. He was told that there are certain things he must do, and it was this Ananias that God is going to use to come now to Saul and tell him what those things are. Tell him what those things are that he must do. You know, God uses people, doesn't he? He uses people all the time in working out his will. He's using the lives of faithful, active Christians today to bring about his will in this world. And he was using Ananias for just exactly that reason and that situation back in the New Testament book of Acts. Now, in telling us the contribution of Ananias to the life of Paul and then vicariously to the work of the church all throughout the first century world, the Apostle Luke, or rather the writer Luke, uses but 8 short verses. That's all there is in your New Testament about the life and the contribution of this Ananias. Just 8 short verses. And this morning what I want to do is I want to look with you at those 8 Bible verses and the qualities of this Ananias, because although he's mentioned only briefly in our Bibles, he holds a place of prominence. Place of prominence in the eyes of God for the kind of character this man was, for the qualities that he exhibited within his life of being an individual who had, as we will talk this morning, the courage of conviction. I want to talk to you about the Ananias of Acts chapter 9 who had the courage of conviction, the conviction to do what God had called him to do in some very difficult and trying situations, and how that because of his faith and his courage, the face of the New Testament world was able to have the opportunity of someone like Paul to go around and preach and teach the gospel and bring people out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13. They had the opportunity to become Christians, and we think so much and we are so very glad that the record of Paul is recorded for us within our New Testaments. But let me tell you something. There would not be a Paul the Apostle had there not been for an Ananias who was simply willing to just do what God told him to do and step to the front when his opportunity came to be active in the kingdom of Christ. And so let me begin our time together this morning by talking about his courage to be ready. Ananias was an individual who exhibited a courage to be ready right when God had for him to be ready. In your Bible of Acts chapter 9 at verse number 10, if you've opened there in your Bible, you'll find a statement very similar to this one where it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias." I want you to notice now Ananias' response. Ananias said, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." He was ready, wasn't he? "I'm ready right now. I'm ready to do whatever it is you have me to do. Behold, I am here, Lord," was his response. And you know what? When he made a response like that, he joins the ranks of many others mentioned in our Bibles who likewise understood that he needed to be ready. He needed to be ready to be used by God in whatever situation that was. For example, there is this individual mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 10. "And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel, speak," is Samuel's answer. "Speak, for thy servant heareth." It's in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. You see, Samuel was ready. He was ready to do whatever it is that God had him to do. There are other individuals mentioned like that. For example, Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8, who made the statement when he heard the voice of the Lord and said, "Then said I, here am I, send me." Isaiah is ready. He's ready to be involved in whatever it is God had for him to do. And then there is this comment in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 8 when it speaks about the patriarch Abraham who predates those individuals whom we have just mentioned. But Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he would go. Can you imagine a situation like that? God just tells him where it is he needs to go. And you know, Abraham, he didn't even question, "Well, where am I going, Lord?" He didn't question, "Well, what am I going to do to get there?" He didn't question, "How am I going to know when I'm there?" The Lord just said, "Go." And the next thing we read is that Abraham, well, he's got his belongings together and he went out. He went out. He simply obeyed what God had given him to do in his time when God was using him in the service of his work at that period. Now, I want to tell you about people like this, Ananias and Samuel and Isaiah and Abraham and others who are mentioned like that. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage just to be ready when God calls, to be ready to do whatever it is God says. And let me kind of focus the spotlight on Ananias for just a minute, because you know what? It takes a lot of courage to go to someone like Saul of Tarsus. You know, Saul of Tarsus, as you read about him before Acts chapter 9, was an individual who had dedicated his life to stamp out Christianity. And he was doing whatever he could to make sure that those individuals who identified themselves as disciples of Christ or who identified themselves as Christians, he was going to do his best to make sure that if they needed to be thrown in prison, fine, throw them in prison. If they needed to be killed, fine, kill them. That was okay with Paul. He didn't care, because you see, he thought at one point in his life that what Christianity was, it was a blight that attached itself to Judaism. And it had no place. It should not have even have come to existence. And the Jesus whom the disciples of Christ were following, that Jesus, as far as Paul was concerned, he was nothing but an imposter. He was nothing but a blasphemer who had ruined the very name of God and the religion of the Jews. And so as far as Paul was concerned, he was willing to do whatever it took to bring about the end of this way that is mentioned in the New Testament. And even if it meant holding the coats of the individuals who were killing Stephen, mentioned in Acts chapter 7, if that's what he needed to do, then he was willing to do that. And so that's recorded for us in our Bibles in Acts chapter 7. So let me ask you a question. How do you go to someone like Saul and you talk to him about obeying the gospel? How do you go to someone who just as soon kill you as look you in the eyes? How do you go to someone who would just as soon wipe you off the face of the earth as to listen to even one thing you had to say? That was the situation Ananias was in, because that's whom God had called him to go and tell him those things that he must do. It takes a lot of courage to go to someone like Saul and begin to talk to him. And let me tell you something, Ananias, he felt that sting. He felt that situation that he was in, and he knew the severity of it. Here is what is in Ananias's comment to the Lord when the Lord called him to go to Saul. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem." And as you look on in verse number 14, "And here he hath authority of the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name." You see, that's why Paul had come to Damascus, because he had heard that there were Christians in Damascus, and he was going up there to take those individuals whom the Jews in Damascus had already captured and confined. He was on his way to go up there and get those people, and as this text says, bring them back down to Jerusalem so that they could be punished for being a Christian. And the Lord calls to Ananias, and he says, "Ananias, I want you to go talk to that man." Ananias felt what that was like to be in a situation where there was pressure and difficulty and extreme intensity against what he had been given to do. Now, I don't know, maybe he knew what this verse says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Whether he ever knew of that statement or not, he was well aware of the fact that whatever it is God had given him to do, God was going to be with him. And so we read in Matthew 28 in verse 20, the familiar words of Jesus teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So here is Ananias. He gets this charge now by God. I want you to go talk to this man who hates Christians. I want you to go talk to this man who is up here in the city of Damascus, because he's going to take every Christian he can find and haul them back down to Jerusalem. I want you to go and talk to that man. What did Ananias say? What would Ananias do? Well, you're looking there at the Bible verses. You know exactly what Ananias did. He went, didn't he? He went to this individual who had had this infamous record of trying to wipe out Christianity everywhere that he went. And he talked to this individual and he told him those things that he must do. Let me reason with you this morning that as God's people today, our courage must be ready to serve God wherever and whenever that need arises. You know, Scripture challenges us to do some things that sometimes we're a little bit uncomfortable with. Do you think Ananias was initially uncomfortable with the plan of God to go and talk to Ananias? Oh, he mentions that he was. I've heard about this guy. I know why he's up here. Ananias was in a situation that was uncomfortable for him. And sometimes the Bible calls us into situations that are a bit uncomfortable. The Scripture challenges us to be ready, you see, to preach the gospel wherever it is we may go in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 15. That's not always an easy task to accomplish, to preach wherever it is you have the opportunity, to talk to souls wherever it is you have the opportunity. The Bible tells us things like it does in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, to be ready to answer any man. You know, sometimes people come up with challenging situations in their life, challenging things that they believe in. And what does God call upon His people to do? You be ready. Be ready to talk to people like that and help them with those things that are in their lives. And the Bible challenges us as well to be ready to do good unto all men, especially they of the household of faith. You see, as a Christian, what God does through His Word is He calls us into situations, some of those of which we will be very comfortable with and feel quite qualified. But there'll be other times that it will be a challenge. There'll be other times that it will be a great difficulty. Are we ready, like Ananias, to rise up and just be ready? Be ready to speak to whomever and to deal with whatever situation may come along. Have you ever wanted to talk to a loved one, but maybe you were afraid of what they might say? You were afraid of, is this the right thing to say? Is this the right time to say it? Is this the right way to say it? Well, congratulations, you're in the very same situation that Ananias was in which God had commissioned him to tell Paul what it was he needed to do. Have you ever thought about talking to that fellow employee, but you're afraid that, well, you know, maybe they'll get mad at you, or maybe they'll just write you off as some kind of religious lunatic? Sometimes God calls us to be in situations that are not as comfortable as maybe we would like them to be. Have you ever been talking to your next door neighbor and you can talk to them about the weather, and you can talk to them about politics, and you can talk to them about the new car they just bought or whatever it may be, but you just struggle with talking to them about the gospel, talking to them about their soul, the most important thing that they need to hear about? You ever been in a situation like that? That's exactly where Ananias was. He was in that situation where he was given the difficult task to talk to someone who was ready to wipe out Christianity. But what we see in Ananias is Ananias was ready, wasn't he? He was ready. And he was willing to obey what it is that God had given him to obey, because he knew that the Lord would be with him. He knew the Lord would not give him any task but to do exactly what He commissioned him to do and would be there to help him and support him. May we learn from Ananias to have the courage to open up our mouths. May we have the courage from Ananias to roll up our sleeves and get busy and active in whatever it is that God has given us to do. May we have the courage of Jesus to put on that loincloth and serve in whatever capacity we are given to serve, at whatever time and whatever moment is ours, regardless of who we're with or where we are. May we have that courage of Ananias, that courage that says, "Here I am. Use me in the service of your kingdom." Ananias leaves for us a remarkable record of an individual who was ready and willing to do whatever it is God had called him to do. May we be those same individuals who embody that spirit of Ananias, who are ready at any moment and are involved at all times in what God has given us to be involved in. Secondly, I want to talk to you about Ananias and his faith to be receptive, his faith to be open to the will of God. Here is what we find in verses 15 through 17 of Acts chapter 9. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. The Lord is now talking to Ananias, encouraging Ananias, you go on and do this. Go thy way, for it is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. And here's verse 17. Luke records, and Ananias went his way. You see, Ananias had the courage to just go. The Lord told him to go, and so he went. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that hath appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, despite his fears, despite whatever reservations, despite whatever setbacks he might have had mentally challenging him, he went anyway, and he did what God called him to do. Let me express to you that following God's will is not always an easy decision. God thinks on a level and on a purpose that is higher than ours. You remember what your Bible says about God in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. If you don't get anything else out of that verse, get the idea, get the concept, get the principle from God's Word that God thinks differently than you and I. He thinks on a level higher than you and I. And yet God calls us to be His people and follow His will. And sometimes what we have to understand is that we'll meet challenges along the way. Your Bible teaches in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Yea, all who are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God has not called the Christian into a life of ease where everything is going to be nice and calm and easy all the time, but rather He's called us into a life of service. And so there are going to be challenges. And Ananias was dealing with his challenges right now, talking to Saul the apostle. Now sometimes what God does is He challenges our thinking. Maybe you've been raised thinking that sincere faith is all that you need to do for salvation. The Bible, God, through the Bible, challenges that thinking. That sincere faith is not all that you need. Well, you know what? Sometimes people are so challenged by that, they can't move beyond thinking that, well, all I have to do is just believe and I'll be saved. When the Bible presents, God presents, there is more for you to do. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, most certainly, but you have to be willing to confess that belief like the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. You have to be willing to be an individual who is repentant of their sins and then being baptized for those sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It's not easy. Let me tell you, it is not easy. It is not easy. It is not easy to change your belief system and accept just what God says. That is not easy. It takes faith to be receptive to what God says. It takes an open mind and open heart to say, I'm just going to listen to what God says, and I'm just going to do what God says. It's not easy to accept challenges like that and then just do what God says. If all you've ever heard is that one church is as good as another church, the Bible challenges that thinking. God challenges that thinking. Remember, God thinks on a level higher than you and I. God challenges that thinking by showing that Jesus only promised to build one church, didn't He? Just one. And so you read in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 that I will build my church, Jesus speaking to Peter. He never promised to build the denominations and the religions of men. He only promised to build His own. And boy, some people run into a verse like that and Oh, it's just too much, you know. I've always believed that one church is as good as another. But here's what you need to think about. The Apostle Paul standing there before Ananias and was doing what he was doing with all good and clear conscience, Acts chapter 24 says, but he realized he needed to make a change. And Ananias was the one who was bringing that information to him about what he needed to change. And Saul changed. Saul changed and became just a New Testament Christian. And so we can understand that when Saul became a Christian, he was brought into the church of Christ, Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16. And so we need to understand that sometimes Christianity calls us into very challenging situations. It was challenging for Ananias. It was challenging for Saul of Tarsus to just do and be exactly what God said, nothing more and nothing less. I was talking to a young man not long ago, and he made the statement. He said, I'm going around this community trying out all the churches, and the one that fits, well, that's where I'm going to go. You see, that's how most people think, don't they? If this fits me, if this suits me, if they believe like I believe, if they practice like I believe, well, then I'll be comfortable there and that's where I'm going to go. But you know what? That is exactly the opposite of what God says in His Word. What God says in His Word is you ought to be willing to change yourself and meet what I say within my Word. Meet what God teaches within His Word. And it's not, does this religion fit me? It's, do I fit the religion of God? Do I fit what God has established within His Word as the way to be the way that I live and the way that I practice? The Bible challenges us by showing that Christianity is not a matter of my preference. It's a matter of God's preference. And so I don't look for what fits me, for the doctrines that suit me, for the teachings that are comfortable to me. What I look for is, well, what does God say? And then I will fit that. I will match my life to that. And what you need to know is that Christianity calls you into a life like that. That is not about you. It's about God. It's not about you. It's about Christ. It's not about you. It's about what does the Bible say? What does God say? And sometimes people find that such a challenge in their life, they just can't get beyond that. And they want to hold on to those former beliefs and practices and ideas and just want to be what they are and not move from that. But you've got to understand that Christianity raises the bar. God calls you into a life that's going to challenge maybe the beliefs that you hold right now. He's going to call you into a life that challenges maybe the things that you practice right now and start living and believing and practicing on a level that He calls you to. Christianity teaches us there are going to be things that in our lives we're going to have to say no to. We're going to have to live godly lives in a world that is very often ungodly, as Titus expressed in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's what God is calling you to do. That's what God, through His Word, is challenging you to do, to be called out of a world of ungodliness and into a world of living a godly life. A challenging command from God Himself. And Ananias received that command. And so he put his fears aside. He did what God said. And here's the thing. Can't be any different for you and I. We've got to muster up the courage and the faith to be just like Ananias and to do just exactly what God said to do. We must be yielding to Him, willing to be molded by His will, setting aside our own will and our own purpose, and doing what Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, transforming our mind, transforming our lives by the renewing of our mind. And that's why Ananias went. Because you see, he set aside his own will and he decided to do God's will. He decided to do what God said. Now, before we close, I want you to think for just a minute about all the good that happened because of Ananias. Because Ananias had the courage to be ready, And because he had the faith to be receptive, even in what was undoubtedly a very challenging environment, because of what he did, notice what happened as the book of Acts continues to unfold. You see, could Ananias have known that Paul would go on three separate missionary journeys and convert hundreds of individuals, establishing churches of Christ all over the New Testament map? Could Ananias have possibly known that? Could he have possibly known that? He didn't know that. He just went. He just went and did what God said. And because Ananias was there to help convert the individual named Saul, who would go on to become Paul, because of that, your New Testament reads of name after name after name after name of Christians. Because Ananias was there for Saul, and Saul became Paul and went and preached the gospel all over the world. But it wouldn't have happened without an Ananias. Would there have been New Testament churches in cities like Ephesus and Corinth and Philippi and Galatia, and on that list goes? Because of Ananias, they were there. Could an Ananias have known that when he raised up Paul out of those waters of baptism, that he was assisting the man who was going to write 13 New Testament books? Could he have known that? He had no way to know that. You see, all he was doing was complying with that one simple command that God had given him, and that command was, you go talk to this man. You go talk to this man. And because he talked to this man, that man went on to write almost half of our New Testaments when he wrote those letters to all those churches. And what I submit to you this morning is that Ananias had no way to know that, but because he had the courage and the faith to do just what God had said, we need to notice all the good things that came about because of that. Now, you know, today we are removed by hundreds of miles of geography and hundreds of years of time away from Ananias, but the courage of Ananias, the conviction that Ananias had, it can still live in you and I. And maybe it's the courage and conviction that, well, today's the day I'm going to be a New Testament Christian. I understand what the Bible teaches about believing Jesus is the Christ and confessing that belief, repenting of my sins and being baptized, and you're ready right now to have that conviction to say, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. That's what God asked me to do. I know, I see that, I read that in His Word, and that's what I'm going to do. And if that's where you're at, then I want you to know we'll assist you in every way that we can. We'll listen to your confession of faith. We'll help you be baptized for the remission of sins. But you see, we can't do that. And God can't add you to His kingdom until you're ready and until you make the decision to be one of His. But if we can help you, we'll help you. We'll listen to that confession of faith and we'll baptize you this morning for the remission of those sins. And you know, if that's where you're at, we hope you're ready to be that Ananias and rise up and meet that opportunity that's in your life. There's something else maybe you need to change in your life and you feel like it is something that we can help with as well. We hope that you have the courage and the faith that needs to make those decisions. And so if we can help, please come while Alan leads us just now.